So today we're going to talk about, I guess the parsha, but in light of the events of the week that have been challenging, very challenging. So it's going to be a little bit disjointed, but hopefully the theme of the discussion will be signs from the parsha, things that we can look at for sort of direction from the parsha about the events of this past week. And maybe a little bit of chizuk as well. I wrote my son called me this week because in his yeshiva, right, the mother, the woman who was killed in Othniel, so she was the mother of a 10th grader in his school. Yeah. So he calls us and it was very interesting. The kids bounced back so fast, but it was very hard for him at night. You know, he called us and the way he said it was, he said, "I'm not angry. I'm not sad. It's just crazy." It's crazy that we know all this. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't know how to articulate his sense of shock. Home. Yeah, it is very, very, very close to home. Especially, we live in such a small world, and when our kids go to these schools, so then there are so many associations. My other son, Simcha, I went to go learn with him in Ma'ale Adumim, and we're going to Daven Ma'ariv, and he says, "Oh, by the way, you know those two boys who are saying Kaddish? They're the sons of the man who was killed in Gush Etzion." Like, and it's so, yeah, it's so immediate. It's so, like, you know, so close to home. And I often say that, you know, like what they talk about a lot in Chutz La'aretz, in America, is the disconnect. I don't know where you're from. Also, there's a growing disconnect between what goes on in Israel and what goes on here. And they don't why is Israel becoming more? Israel is moving to the right, whereas most of the diaspora is moving leftward. And it's very interesting. And the way I see it, politically, the big difference to me is this idea of no, there's a trend moving left. People, you know, there's a liberalism and. What I see is right. If you don't live with the reality, if you don't feel it all the time, if you don't.
It's too lying to deny.
Right. Right. And you feel bad. I'm not saying. I'm saying they feel bad, and they do feel bad. And it's concerning, and it's a terrible thing. But it's all the difference in the world. I was just thinking about it. Like, I drove, it was Monday, I'm driving to work, and it was the day after she was killed, and they're interviewing a friend of hers. And I'm driving, and she's just talking about how wonderful this woman was, and she adopted two children. And I just started to cry, and I'm like, if you don't hear it, and you don't experience it, because you live it, then it just affects. So I was thinking about this actually in next week's parsha. I'm going to write this other thing. It says Vayishma Yitro, right? Et kol esher asa Hashem, it says Ma Shama Yitro Ba Shama Kriyat Yamsuf Mechamet Amalek. That Yitro heard about Kriyat Yamsuf Mechamet Amalek. And so, like, you ask yourself a question. Why was Yitro was the, like, he's merits to get his own parsha Teshavua, because he's the only one who came. And so you ask yourself, of all, the whole world, everybody heard what happened. What was different about Yitro that only Yitro came? So you could say there's a lot of there's something unique about Yitro, etc., etc. I would like to suggest something interesting and novel. What was different about Yitro than anybody else in the world? Anyone? He was related. He was family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, when you are no gay abadavar, when it's you, when it's your person, your people, you just relate to it in a totally different way. You know, I don't see any way to overcome this trend. You can't, like you said, it's two lines of newspaper, or you see it on Facebook, and you care, you like it, and you're involved. But your involvement is just so different than your child calling you and saying, "I can't believe this." You know what I'm saying?
I went to parent-teacher conferences, and as I'm waiting for the teacher, on one side of the door is a picture of Matana Litzman of the Shalom, you know, with all these before, and on the other side are pictures of the 8 boys that were killed.
Really? They have that in school.
In the school they have these memorials on either side of the door, and then sitting there waiting, holding back the tears.
Yeah. It's so raw, and it's not. I was talking with a colleague, a secular colleague who lives in Tel Aviv. You know, she doesn't live the same life we live. It's not as raw for her, but even for her, it's very. It's like you hear it. You know what I'm saying? You can't run away from it.
A nurse, a mother of 6, that you can. Everybody can relate to that.
Right. Right. So.
Until they say sickly.
Yeah, that's what I didn't say that.
What?
Until they say secular.
No. The Israeli, it's interesting. The Israeli, even the secular public, they won't say it. They had enough tact not to, like, they don't say it that way. There's a period of just shock and mourning first. And then there's politics separate.
Ah, but they didn't have a fence and...
Whatever. Okay, I don't want to get into that. It's not for me to discuss. It's really not for me to discuss. It's a good question. Excellent questions, but whatever. We're not gonna discuss it. Okay. So in that light, in that context, like we look to the Torah for a sort of guidance and consolation. And obviously, in every parasha, you could do this for any parasha. I could do it for parasha to to Mitzora and try to find. But there is stuff in B'Shalach. Okay. And as hopefully you'll see in the Midrashim, very interesting Midrashim that I'm going to share with you, some Agadah, some Rashi's, as we always do. So we'll start from the very beginning. We're going to do a lot of jumping around. Just random thoughts that I wanted to share with you. Okay? I'll start with this one. Okay? Vayi b'shalach, you see where I'm beginning b'shalach. Yud gimel yud zayin. So it's going to be a little bit disjointed because there's sort of, I think you're all like me, like so many different thoughts are, shooting around your head. And what I wanted to sort of get to is, on the one hand, there's a certain, how do you deal with this rage that we all have? This unbelievable anger at these people who just seem to be bloodthirsty and you don't know what to do with it on the one hand. And on the other hand, like your a sense of faith, a desire for a sense of faith and consolation and guidance. Like there's no, I hate to, if you're looking for at the end, you're going to come away with, oh, okay, now I'm all straight. That's not going to be. We're going to share. I was hoping.
Yeah, the magic solution.
Yeah, right. but the study and the discussion and the notion that these things existed and have existed for so long, they're there. So the first thing I want to address is this issue of the anger, this upsetness, this rage. Okay, because it's natural and it's normal. There's a group from YU that's coming this week. What? There's a group from Yeshiva University coming this week, and so I was asked to talk to the students on Sudash Lishi, and because they're going to deal with how do you dealing with the situation. They're on some inter seminary mission. They're on a mission. They want to understand. So I'm sure they're going to see security things and what have you. But the Naftali Lehrman, they asked me to talk about something that I raised. How do you raise children in this environment not to be people who hate, not to be racist?
Not to be racist.
Yeah, it's a very difficult question. I have no idea what I'm going to say yet, because it's not easy, as we'll see. But just read the words. Vayi b'shalach paro et ha'am. When Paro sent the nation, v'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim, ki karofu. Okay, I'm going to read the pshat. I'll give you the pshat. And don't worry about it, Daniel. It's fine. See, the coffee stains are like, they melt in. Okay. There's a pad. Okay. Let's understand the words. When Paro sent to the nation, V'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim. Ki karofu. Translate, before you look. I cheated already. You didn't leave. Okay? In order to understand the problems in the translation, in order to understand why translation is tricky, you have to try yourself. Okay? And then when you try yourself, okay, so what are the words? V'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim.
Derech eretz plishtim just jumps out at me.
Okay, but the way of the plishtim, nacham. What is nacham? Okay, now I understand. Well, now you don't know, so now we're stuck, right? What are we stuck with? We're stuck with, what does the word nacham mean? Okay, so now you can look at your translation. So if you're stuck, that's fine. Okay, and what does it say? I can tell you what it means. He didn't lead them. Derech Eretz Plishtim. No, but that's a problem. What's your problem?
Nacham doesn't
mean. Right. Okay, tanche, lahanchot. Hanchaya. What is hanchaya? To educate or to guide. Okay, he didn't guide them derech eretz plishtim. Why? Ki karofu. It was too close. Ki amar Elohim pen yinachem ha'am birotai milchama v'shavu mitzrayim. Because he said, God said, pen yinachem ha'am, if they're going to yinachem from nacham. Get the play on words? V'lo nacham Elohim pen yinachem ha'am. Clever. It's a nice trick. You see it? Lo nacham Elohim nun chedmem. And then the end of the parasha, the end of the pasuk, ki amar Elohim pen yinachem ha'am.
they'll manage by themselves.
Well, they'll regret. Why? Birotam milchama. When they see war, v'shavu mitzrayimah. Okay? So in the simple shot of the Pasuk, what the Pasuk is saying is the following. What is the closest path from Cairo to Jerusalem?
Through the Plishtim.
Through the Sinai. Right, through the Plishtim, Eretz Plishtim. Go that way. Where do they go? Hey, let's hang a left. Now they didn't know, but you know, God knows. So why did he go the wrong way?
Because he didn't want to see them. He didn't want them to see like war and
lead them straight into war.
Why?
Because they'll be scared.
They'll be scared and want to go back. So instead, what does he do?
Takes a long way.
Wait, one second. It's not that he takes the long way. It's not that he took the long way. It's not that he took the wilderness. Why don't you turn around and go back from the wilderness? What? How do you stop them from going back when they're afraid?
Confused.
If you, how do you stop them from going back when there's wilderness?
Confused.
When there's war? When you can get them hopelessly lost, but that wouldn't work. Somebody would figure out how to go back. How do you stop
them?
What?
Carry
them. No. How do you stop somebody from going back? Very simple.
You give them something good.
What?
You give them something good. Reason not to go back.
That would be one way. There's another way also.
Something to look forward to.
No,
or
come
Paro, on. Have Paro not allow them to go back.
What?
Have Paro not allow them to go
Paro
back.
Paro is dead. No, Paro himself is not dead. Everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody else is dead. Very. I'm not giving you a quiz. It's a very simple thing. What happened after the splitting of the Red Sea?
It closed up.
Yeah.
You
locked the door. Right?
Right.
Right.
One way.
Now, no matter what, they said, let's go back to Egypt. Okay, have fun. Can you swim? Right. Although, just so you know, we have discussed in the past, in years past, the idea that Ibn Ezra suggests that they did that when they went through Yamsuf, they did not go across. They went in a horseshoe. They went in a U. They made a U-turn.
And then
back when they started. Like a couple miles down the road.
What?
Right. We have discussed it. We did discuss
really?
It. Pretty good.
Must have
you guys,
missed it.
You better do review. Maybe you didn't. You got to do review.
Must
like
have missed
7
it.
Years of Shiurim and why you took something back and discussed it. Okay. I remember clearly from Haggadah, the Haggadah of Rav Mirsky. Rav Mirsky writes it in his Haggadah. That's a very well-known theme. Even Ezra says they didn't go across. How would you go across? It's like miles and miles across. Say these, they go through. Anyway, but nonetheless, you close the door, right? If let's say you go across, so that's the idea. We don't want them to go back. Okay, why? But is that really the reason why they went the roundabout way to the? What was the reason they went around the roundabout way?
To take a long time.
No.
For everyone to die.
Well, that's actually correct. That was the midbar, was to take a long time. It wasn't supposed to be 40 years, but there was a...
To get prepared for...
That's the reason? There's another reason. Okay? Oh, let's read on. 1 second. We'll see what the reason is. Vayasev Elohim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf. Okay. And the name, God, lasev ha'savah. Okay, he turned them around towards the way or path of the desert, toward the yamsuf. The Reed Sea, you know, it's not the Red Sea. It's the Reed Sea. Perhaps like Yud Chet. B'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. B'chamushim,
armed.
Okay, very good. And the Jews went up from the land of Egypt. We're just gonna read a little bit, but let's get, because I was going to make my point. Okay. Vayidaber Hashem to Yudalit, the Parak Yudalit, chapter 14. We're just a couple of sukkim. We'll come back to the other. We'll make this point. But Rabbi Hashem Moshe Limor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to Yisrael Israel, v'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei piachirot. Let them turn around and encamp before piachirot. Beinu dol ubein ayam lifnei bal tzifon nachol tachanu al ayam. Okay, Deb, could you read me the English because I don't feel like translating? That's just places.
Speak to children of Israel and let them turn back and encamp before piachirot. Between Migdol and the sea.
Right.
Before
Baal Tzifon, they're going to encamp on the sea.
Camp opposite it by the sea.
Good. Ve'amar Paro livnei Yisrael nivuchim heim ba'aretz sagar aleihem ha'midbar. So what's Paro going to say? Here they're encamped by the sea. They're lost. Why? They went that way and there's nowhere to go. They're stuck. V'chizakti et lei Paro v'radaf achreihem v'ikabda b'Paro v'chol chelo v'yadu mitzrayim ki ani Hashem v'yasuke. Right? Why did God? Let's go back to the pasuk, the very beginning of Bashalach. Ma'ibashalach paro et ha'am v'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim. Why not? Why didn't he take him derech eretz plishtim? What was the secondary goal? Or I don't even know if it was secondary or it was primary.
Derech eretz plishtim could also be the way of plishtim behavior.
No. We're gonna get to that. One second. We're not gonna get to that. V'lo nacham. Why didn't he take them the short way? We see five psukim later why he's taking the short way.
It says it was closed.
Forget what we said a minute ago. What, we just read them psukim. What did God take them the long way to the river for? To the sea. What did he want to happen?
Power to
yes, he wanted to entice power to chase after them. Why did he want power to entice power to chase after him?
Show the miracles.
So that
power let them go.
So he could destroy them.
Okay, show his strength.
Oh,
yeah.
And also so that they can see that they have no regrets afterwards. Maybe
why would they have no regrets? It's over. It's over. It's gone. What? Why are they running after them?
They want to bring them back.
Why?
Because they're using their workforce.
No. What happened?
Humiliation.
There's
humiliating.
What?
Having these millions of people leaving your country for Paro. It's like.
But what was the point that got Paro? What was the thing that got Paro to say, "What have I done"? What was it? When did Paro say that?
What about letting us go?
When did he think it was a mistake? What got him?
They
took all the stuff already. The Torah says explicitly. We just read it. Okay? Ve'amar paro libnei Yisrael nevuchim hem ba'aretz.
What does that mean?
Nevuchim, they're confused. Maren nevuchim, they're confused. Sagar them, they're lost. Ve'chizakti b'lei paro v'radap achoyem.
Paro's
gonna... He's gonna look at them and say, he's gonna find out, because Paro, those Jews, they're stuck. They don't know, they're not going anywhere. Oh, they're not going anywhere? What should we do?
Let's go
get them. If they had gone the short way,
it would be
away. They'd be gone. See you later. Okay, forget it. This is, by the way, one of the main perushim and how to v'chizakti le'i paro. It wasn't that God forced him to say, oh, go get them. Go get them. Go get them. It wasn't that. What did he do? He
made
us look lost and stuck and powered like easy picking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And rage and whatever. So if that's true, and I think this is clear, one of the main purpose of Kriyat Yam Suf was two purposes. One,
miracles
for the Jewish people. Two,
to get them lost.
Two,
to
destroy the people of Egypt, to show the world the power, to show the world. Why? In the words of inestimable Disney, let it go, let it go. Like, really? Why? Why was it necessary? Meaning that the 10 makot were not enough. Yeah. We had to see. We didn't. You could have split the sea and not killed all the Egyptians.
Dayenu.
Right.
So the Jews were ultimately.
Below Asa Behem Shifatim.
What happened?
Canaan, which was full of Canaanites.
Yeah.
Right.
And they needed to hear of the miracle.
Who needed to?
The people living
enemies.
In
our enemies.
Work. That didn't work. Didn't even work, as we're going to see by the end of this week's parsha. It doesn't work.
I think it was to show, like, to the other nations, if you're going to mess with the Israel, this is what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to destroy you.
No,
they also say that, like, all the nations were scared to.
Right.
Amalek was the first one to start with.
No.
The other ones were scared.
That didn't last very long until Amalek did. And so
I think 5 minutes after they left and they were suddenly weak and lost, they had to show Am Yisrael that, like, another, it was a miracle. Again, this was for Am Yisrael.
5 minutes after?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's, interesting word. Let's read the beginning of the parasha again. Okay, so I'm just asking a very simple question. Why do God need to slam Paro?
It's all about educating people.
You know what?
Somehow.
What?
Somehow. It's better be linked to.
There's a much simpler reason why God needed to slam Paro.
Nobody else would?
What?
Nobody else would?
B'shalach Paro etam. Paro, send them away. Okay, send them away. It's over, right? V'lo nacham Elohim. Now read the words differently. What does that mean?
Hashem wasn't...
God was not consoled. It's not.
It wasn't good enough.
It's not. It's not enough. That's enough. What? Yes. God wants revenge. You don't enslave our people and kill them and murder them for 2 centuries and say, "Okay, I'm done. We're okay now, right? We're clean. We're good, right?" No. V'lo nacham elohim. And that's me saying this. Is that Rabbi Walter saying this? Obviously, I've said a midrash. Says a midrash. Davar acher, midrash avakir. I've never heard of it, but I found it, so it's all good. Av al pishiyatsu mi mitzrayim. Even though the Jewish people left Egypt, lo kibel hakadosh baruch hu tanchumim al bnei Ephraim shenehergu. So the midrash says it was something else. What happened? Bnei Ephraim were killed 30 years before. Shemanu Ketz, they counted v'tau, and they counted wrong. V'yatzu shlo shloshim shana kodem haketz. They left 30 years before. They counted the Ketz. They thought 200 years was up, 30 years before. Because they counted from Ribein and Bisarim. Okay? Amar! So God said, I efshi liot besimcha mitnei b'ni hamet. He says, I cannot be consoled. I can't be happy. Oh, we're getting out finally. What about my, you know, what about my dead child? He says, the Midrash says it's a mashal, it's like a person who's marrying his son, okay, and at the chuppah his other son dies. So he says, how can I be happy? My son has died. But how can I mourn? Because I'm marrying my son off. Ma'asa, so what did he do? He tchil miraked biyado echat. He dances with one hand. V'sofeb biyado acheret, and he's mourning with his other hand. Havei omer v'lo nacham. He was not consoled.
That doesn't sum up Israel today.
How does that not? No. You know, it's like there's a sense of inconsolation. You know, like because this midrash really spoke to me because we feel definitely this mixed feeling. Mm. You know, this discombobulation. On the one hand, we're consumed by grief, but on the other hand, it's so good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's
the Lipan wedding.
What's that?
Wedding.
Oh, that wedding. That wedding. Same thing. That wedding. I think, you know. Mamashkacha. I didn't even think of that.
You know. The first thing that came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
On the radio, on the way here, there was the two big Israeli high-tech companies are merging, $800 million.
Who's merging?
Which?
Two high-tech companies?
Two high-tech
companies.
Okay. Who? Someone in Des Moines.
Okay.
But it's an $800 million deal.
Are you
kidding
me? Nobody realized. They just announced that they found another gas well somewhere.
Really?
Four more?
It's the four.
Wow.
Then we'll fight about that too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
How do you write? How do you juggle these things? So I just want to show you, like, this V'lo nacham Elohim is Hashem is also not consoled, even though good happens. You look back and say, but what about the pain? Like this image of someone mirakeh biyado echat, dancing with one hand and eulogizing mourning with another hand. It's just so prescient, so powerful and so real. So that's the image number one. Okay. Next, we read on, and but it's not pshat. It's a drash, but it's a good drash. Okay, and we said, I'm in pasuk yod chet now. Yud gimel yod chet. That God led them derech hamidbar yamsuf. V'chamushim, you gimel yudcha. You see it? V'chamushim alu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Yud gimel yudcha. I know we're jumping around. I apologize. Okay. Yeah, we're back. No, not in Bilbo. We're in
Bilbo.
Okay, everyone see? It says, Vayaseh Elohim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf, v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. What do we say v'chamushim means?
Arms.
Very famous Rashi. Very famous. Let me look at Rashi for a second. Okay? Rashi first says v'chamushim. Read the beginning of the Rashi. En chamushim ela mezuyanim, armed. Right? A very interesting question. Why did they need arms if God was going to fight for them? They took their weapons. They had no idea what to do with them. Like, they took them, but they didn't really know what to do with them. Now we're going to skip a ton. Okay? There's a dot somewhere, maybe 10 lines down, 15 lines down. Davar Acher. You see it?
In the Rashi.
In Rashi. There's a Davar Acher in the Rashi. I can't tell you how many lines to skip. Davar Acher. Chamushim Mechumashim Echad Mechamisha Yatzu. Chamushim, one-fifth went out. Ve'aba'a Chalakim Meitu Bishloshet Yomei Afreda. Okay, four-fifths died during the 3 days of darkness. Very famous midrash. I'll read you the actual midrash itself from the Mechilta. Okay? Chamishim, one out of five. That's what the midrash says. V'yesh omrim, echad mechamishim. One out of every 50. V'yesh omrim, echad mechamesh meot. One out of every 500. Rabbi Nehorai Omer, okay? I mean, the Rai says, Ha'avuda, I swear to you, V'lo echad mechamesh meot adu. It's not even one out of every 500. It's hard to think about the numbers. It's impossible. Like, the numbers are like, whack.
What, chamushim, or shall, what?
Then less than 1/500. So let's say one, let's go with the most conservative estimate. One out of every five, according to the Midrash, left. Which means four out of every five stayed.
What do you mean died?
They say that they died. When did they die?
Make you are they Yisrael
in
Mitzrayim? Darkness, no.
When?
I was
going to
say.
Yishloshet Yomei Afela, right during the middle of darkness. Why? Because they wanted to hide it from the Egyptians.
What? So they disconnected themselves from the earth, so their life wasn't living anymore in the Jewish sense.
Yeah, we've discussed that. You can either. The question is, did Chazal really believe that they died? God killed them? They mamash died in the darkness. The Midrash says yes. Why? Because it says that. The Jews buried their dead.
Meaning that's why they had the plague of darkness.
Yeah, that's why they had the plague of darkness.
They wouldn't see. Burying their dead.
Is that, okay.
But all of them?
80%.
80%. It's a very difficult.
It's hard.
So I have in the past.
Not only the Mitzrayim suffered in the plagues.
Oh, I have interpreted this Midrash in the past in a figurative way. Spiritual Holocaust and assimilation. That's how I choose to interpret it. Like they died. They died in the plague of darkness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. You,
the Midrash is. They're eating a korban pesach.
What's that?
Like in the midst of all of this mourning, they're eating a korban pesach.
It puts the korban pesach in a very different light, doesn't it? If you think about it that way.
Okay.
So in that light, I want to read to you another pasuk, a different pasuk that's at the end of that's right after Kriyat Yam Suf and Az Yashir. So from there, skip to Perek Tet Vav. Pasuk Chaf Bet. Okay? Tet Vav Chaf Bet. Right after the song. Because remember, what happens, like, as soon as the Yetziat Mitzrayim begins, like, the whole thing is a real whirlwind. You know what I'm saying? Along comes Choshech ends, and Moshe says, you got 2 weeks to get ready, we're going to leave it. Okay? Get your sheep ready, we're going to do the Korban Pesach, etc., etc. They get themselves ready. They're taking the money of the Egyptians. Everyone's like freaking out. Korban Pesach comes. The night comes, and they're gone. Okay. And what do they do for the next week? Next week they're walking. 7 days later, Kriyat Yam Suf. Okay. Kriyat Yam Suf. They have Az Yashir. They're singing. They're dancing. And now it's over.
At some
point. Right. You know, like. It always basically reminds me of, like, you know, when you made Aliyah, right? And then you had to sing it. You didn't get this, but we were like, you guys didn't get to sing it. The dancing is epic, and then you're in the camp, and you get to your house, and it's like a gajillion degrees, and there's no furniture, and you're like, oh, God, I'm so tired. Now I'm supposed to do it.
No, what? Zionist Rabbi Bela used to say, you better live the Zionist dream, but you better know you're going to wake up the next
I told you, I always say this, that I don't like that they sell it like live the dream, because it's not, it's a, I mean,
I always say, he's a realist.
I wanted them to use there's a very famous ad campaign of Home Depot. They want to get people to buy stuff and build. So they said their tagline is, you can do it, we can help. And I was like, that's such a great, that's such a great like tagline for Aliyah. You can do it. We'll help. You know what I mean? That's it.
I think Bernie Marcus would even like the music.
What?
Bernie Marcus would even like the music.
Maybe he would. But they say that they can't do it because it won't sell. It won't sell in America because people don't want to, they don't want to be told that it's hard. They want to be told that it's like, you know, the Kotel and whatever.
Do you really tell people when they want to make Aliyah? The good, the bad, and the ugly?
I tell them the truth, sure, of course.
I don't.
You lie?
Really? I don't lie. I just don't share everything because I feel like if I share everything, I'm repeating the same place of the miraculous.
No, I...
True. It's true.
I don't say
what you just, but there are certain things
I don't agree with you. I say I don't hide the truth. I said the hardest thing, which I believe, is overcoming your own fears about the future and your concerns about the unknown. That's the hardest part. You know, you're
you can't put that into, you can say that, but you can't really tell them what it really means.
It's just really financial challenges.
I had to break it to you. My friends and all of my compatriots in America are struggling no less than I am unless they're making an obscene amount of money. I don't know how. Now we're talking about college. Dear Lord, you're talking about $50,000 a year sending your kid to college.
To find them a safe space.
Whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, Chafbet, but we digress. Chafbet. Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael mi Yam Suf, Vayetsu el Mirbar Shur. I'm going to focus on the first word, vayasa. Vayasa from the word vayisa, okay? Like lisoa means, vayisa means that he traveled. What does vayasa mean?
He took them.
Good, very good. Vayasa and he traveled them. Immediately says Rashi, vayasa Moshe, says Rashi, he siyam baal korcham.
Right. Against their will.
Against their will. I.e., they're at the Yam Suf, and Moshe's like, let's go! And they're like,
no.
No, we don't want to go.
It's cold.
What?
It's cold.
It's the desert.
The water's cold.
Oh, so what, like, wait. Why in the world would want to keep them at the water? So we're going to read Rashi, and then I'm going to make my own shot that I admit that I'm making up, but I think it fits. Okay? All right, I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your chiyar.
It is. Okay, so Rashi says, based on the Midrash, Sha'atru Mitzrayim et Suseihem betachshitei kesef zahav v'zahava kesef v'avanim tovot. For some reason, the Egyptians had this custom of adorning their chariots and their horses with gold and fine jewels. V'ayu Yisrael motzim otam bayam. Right? And as soon as the Egyptians were all drowned, and then when they started to wash up, there's more money at the Reed Sea afterwards on the beach than there was in Egypt. Okay? They're sitting there like more money, and then another wave washes in and it's more gold and more silver. What do you do with that? I know. It's like so great. It's a shame that it wasn't this week, last week, when we talked about the lottery. But okay. Of course. You know, but it's fine. I've actually given that share in the past. Right? So I didn't want to give it again. Anyway, that's a very weird midrash, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question?
What point do we go?
If you were going out to war, would you think to yourself, well, what should we put on the horses? I know. Let's take all of our wealth and our gold and silver and put it on the chariots.
No, but you've got to think in their thinking.
What's their thinking?
That wealth is power. We are powerful. We're intimidating.
You have a bright, shiny new tank, and it's a whole lot.
Between you and me, wealth is power, and it's fine. Wealth is power, but wealth is power because you can buy horses and tanks and chariots and armor. That's why wealth is power. What?
Fair to say. They were much more.
Is there any record of the Egyptians actually putting? Is there any record of Egyptians actually putting jewels in? Whatever, it's very interesting.
But they were very into their wealth. Like, even they used to, like, after they died, they used to be buried
with their wealth.
With their
wealth. Yes,
so
absolutely.
Very into this.
And it speaks very much about our lives today and our situation today and how we define ourselves based on our wealth, et cetera, et cetera. I have to agree with that. But it's all imagery. It's all a drash. And it's a beautiful drash. You know what I'm saying? But it's harder to accept. So I'm gonna, and of course it's great, and I don't know if it's pshat or not, but I do know I'm pshat is that they didn't want to leave. Why didn't they want to leave? So I would like to suggest something different, okay?
based on what we said about the Chamushim, one in five left. When the euphoria ended, and we said what happened when the Yam Suf returned and the door was closed, what that meant is that the door was closed on this chapter of their life, and now they have to move forward. But now they realize everyone lost someone. Everyone lost many people. There wasn't a family that didn't lose, you know, if 80% of the people were killed. Then there wasn't some, then, you know, can you imagine now, okay, let's move on. And like until now, I don't know why, you're still connected to Egypt in some way, we're still there. But now all of a sudden when we're no longer there, they're at the edge of the river, they're at the edge of the water, Moshe says, okay, let's move on. And it's not easy to move on. You're consumed with a sense of
loss.
And you want to stay by the river because that's all you have. And you don't really, you know you're gonna move, you know you have to go, you know there's nothing for you there. But it's very hard to move forward. And so that's why Moshe's job is to say, let's go. We have a place to go, we have things to do. You know, and it's interesting. So I actually posted about when I posted on Facebook. I said, "What do you write? What do you say when your son calls you and says, you know what he said?" And so a rabbi, a very well-known rabbi, he wrote very beautifully. He said, "You have to give them strength, and you have to give them say this is difficult and painful, and give them chizuk and consolation, and then we move forward." And I think he's absolutely right. That was that I see like Derek Drash, of course. That's by Yashlisa Moshe Yisrael Yam Suf. Right? Once all the hoopla is over and all the excitement is over, and then all you're left with is your thoughts and yourself, then Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, "We have to move forward from Yam Suf. We have to move forward." Like, you know, even forget the Yam Suf. All of Egypt, the whole experience in Egypt, when it's finally over, when you're finally out of there, and you begin to dwell on what we just experienced, what we just suffered through as a people, the enormity of it becomes overwhelming. How do you move forward?
There was a finality to that.
What?
There was a finality. You're looking back. You're like, okay, what next?
You know what reminds me of? What next? You know what it makes me think of? It really makes me think of most of the Jewish people as a community after the Holocaust. Like, you could well appreciate that there must have been a sense, you know, before the Israel euphoria took hold, before this, the understanding that, okay, you know, like 1947 and 48, before anything was really clear what was going to happen. How are we going to rebuild? Like, you know, there was just a sense of overwhelming decimation, and we're going to start again? We're going to rebuild, like, how is this even going to happen? You know, you can imagine that, and then, but then you realize, no, we suffered this loss, and this is what we're going to come to in 1 second. We suffered this great loss to propel us to something greater, to propel us to something bigger, which of course it was. Now we come to our next point, maybe our final point. Oh, final point. Second to last point. Let's see how much time we have. Next pasuk. We're on pasuk chav gimel. Vayavo marata. They came to Mara. V'lo yachlu lishtot mayim mimara ki marimim. They couldn't drink the water of Mara because they were bitter. Al kain kara shema Mara. Sounds like a pretty bitter place. You know why I think it's bitter?
Because it's called Mara.
Because it's just bitter like five times in the same pasuk. Marata, Mara, Marim, Mara. Four times in one pasuk, it's bitter. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure everything is bitter. Right? Okay. The water was bitter. But everything was bitter. They couldn't drink the water. Vayilonu ha'am al Moshe le'mor ma'nishteh. So they complained to Moshe and they say, "What should we drink?" Vayitzak el Hashem. Moshe cries out to Hashem. Vayorehu Hashem etz. Vayorehu. Fascinating word. Look at the word and tell me what it means and what it doesn't mean. What should it have said?
That's there.
Vayorehu is like he showed it.
No, how do you say to show?
Vayorehu.
What?
With an aleph.
With an aleph. Leharot. Vayarehu. What is vayorehu? What is the root of vayorehu?
To shoot.
No. Good guess.
The first rains are your rain.
Yoreh umakosh. That's also a good guess. Okay. Yoreh lehorot. Lehorot from the word Torah. Vayorehu Hashem is. How did that translate it? Interesting. I'm just curious.
He showed it.
Right. The Peshad showed him. But it's not showed him. It means, and he instructed him. He taught him. Vayashlech el hamayim. Vayim teku hamayim. And he threw it into the water. Right? And the water became sweet. Sham sam lo chok umishpat v'sham nisa. There, he placed for him chok umishpat. Chok is a statue. Law, statue. And statue. V'sham nisa. There he tested it. So this whole thing is so deep. So, so deep. What kind of tree was this?
Tree of life.
Really? What kind of tree was it?
Knowledge?
Okay.
Yeah, what a tree do you think you carry around?
The chok and mishpah came out of it, so that's why I thought knowledge.
It's
what kind of tree was it? It says the midrash. I can't believe this isn't based on Rashi. It's a very famous idea. What?
It was a miracle within a
Why do you say that? Very good. Are you looking at Rashi? What?
I'm looking at a translation which I think is
translation
Rashi.
Of?
Must be Rashi.
No, what does it say? Mechilta. It says the Rashi, says the Midrash.
Oh, yeah, Mechilta, you're right. You've read the thing. It's totally right.
Haya Atmotse, you have a bitter drink.
Who says it?
The Mechilta, the Midrash. Very famous okay. Midrash. Okay? You have a bitter drink. Okay. Lemonade. You got lemon water, which I actually like. Okay? You have lemon water. What do you do to make it sweet?
Sugar.
Right, that's of the sweet. Admotse. Kishabalu Mara, Valoyuchu Yishtat Mara. When they came to Mara, they wanted to drink. Vaya Moshe Savosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Sheyachshud Rasham Dvash O Dveila. Throw in a Dveila, Dvash, a date tree. Something sweet. Vamaim Mitmatkin. And the water becomes sweet. Makti Sham Vayatzveh Moshe El Hashem Vayorei Hashem Eitz. I'm sorry, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem. Moshe cried out, and God Vayorehu. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. He taught him a tree. What do you teach him? En Darki Kemidat Basar Vadam. Okay? My way is not the way of Basar Vadam, of mankind. Achshav Ata Tzarich L'Lemod. You have to learn. Shneamar Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. Tells him Lahorot. Vayorehu. You have to learn something. He taught him the tree, not Vayorehu, Ela Vayorehu. Horehu bidrachav. God taught us, taught Moshe his ways. Mahayah ha'etz. What was this tree? Okay. The chachamim disagree, but everyone agrees that it was a bitter tree. The only question is, how bitter was it? The machlok, was it a zayid tree? Was it a different kind of tree? But all chachamim agree that it was a bitter tree. They're only arguing about how bitter was it. Okay. What's the most bitter tree? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer says, "Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, go ure'e kama muflaim drachav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu yoter mi b'drachei basar v'dam. How wondrous are the ways of God more than the ways of man? Basar v'dam b'matok mirape etamar. Human beings, they make the bitter sweet with sweet. Aval Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'mar mirape etamar. But God with bitter." Mirape heals the bitter. Haketzad. How? Noten devar ha-mechabel betoch devar ha-mechabel. He puts the thing that's mechabel, destructive, in the midst of the thing that's destructive. La'asot nes betoch nes. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le-Moshe. So says God to Moshe. Lo kachu amonuti. I don't do it the way you do it. Ela b'mashta ani makeh, bo ani merapeh. That which I, the same thing I hit with, that's the same thing I heal with. Hilkachol ve'elu mayim amarim, ani merapam b'davar mar. The thing that's bitter, I heal it with something that's bitter. So I said this to Dr. Sodhi, and I said, what do you think of this? He says, it reminds me of a vaccine. How do you cause ultimate healing? You introduce the vaccine, you introduce the virus itself. And it causes a resistance for the whole body. And I said to him, but what does it mean for us today? And he didn't know what I meant. But we have to view the mar betoch hamar, the bitter in the bitter, in some way as the nes betoch nes. Now the Kadosh Baruch Hu understands what he's doing, and even though it's bitter, it's painful, it's terrible, it tastes so raw and so hard to us, that we have to see that that's the way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Sam Sham Lo Chok Mishpat. There God placed Chok Mishpat. And the way I look at Chok Mishpat, so all the Mefarshim talk about this, there's a whole methodology of that the Eitz Vayirir is the Eitz Chaim of the Torah. That there's a bitterness to the Torah. This is true. It's hard. But the Torah is hard. Bisham is there, he tested him. But there also, God tests us in the way of the world. That there's a bitterness to the way. There's a bitterness. There's a pain. You know, like, think about the path to Matan Torah was through Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The pain of Yitzhak Mitzrayim led directly to Matan Torah. Right? We always talk about that. You know, the Holocaust led to the birth of the State of Israel. Did you have to have the Holocaust? I don't want to get into that. But it did. Right? The pain leads to the redemption. Nobody likes the pain.
What? I think what Sodi is saying is a clear connection to what
he got. Yeah, yeah. He didn't think about it that way. Nobody thinks. I think about it more practical terms. That we have a sickness. We don't understand. Like, you know, we you said, the world is moving in a direction. That's what we start with. The world is moving in a direction of. Let it go, move on, you know. What? Yeah.
99% are good.
And they don't understand. And they don't understand. They're not like.
Be nice to the 99.
I don't know. They're like, they don't understand because they're not experienced. They don't realize. They're not there. They don't. They just don't. And we, you know, when you feel it so acutely, you just can't ignore it. You can't. You literally cannot will yourself. No matter how liberal you are, no matter how well-meaning you are, no matter how much you want for mankind, you cannot will yourself in the face of this to do something ridiculously stupid. I mean, that's my own practical way, but it's on a much deeper level. The mar betoch hamar, the way of God is to cause redemption through bitterness. It made me immediately think of this, a very famous Gemara in Brachot, okay? Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Shalosh matanot natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God gave three gifts to the Jewish people, to Israelites. Kulam lo nitanam ela ayidei Yisurim. And none of them were given except through Yisurim. Ve'eluhem, and what are the three? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, ve'olam haba. All of them are through Yisurim. Okay? They're going to be through pain. Okay? Yisurim mimarkim avonotav shel adam. They mimarik. They sweeten. They dissolve the sins of mankind. Yisurim, we don't understand it. Nobody wants Yisurim. Nobody likes them. Nobody likes the pain. Nobody wants to, you know, feel the pain of other people. But this is the way of the world. This is the path through which we acquire Eretz Yisrael. And That is the law of nature with which God sam chok mishpat v'sham nisa. That is the way we're tested, and this is what God taught to us. And just as we understand it's true with the Torah, and we understand the powerfulness with regard to Olam Haba, the same thing is true with regard to Eretz Yisrael as well. Final message. I know this helped us get this. Yeah.
I'm just thinking with regard to Sodi Nanu.
Yeah.
That just as the vaccine causes the body to awaken itself, so to speak, and strengthen itself, So in the same way, all the Yisurim that are happening in Eretz Yisrael, as painful as they are, and as much as Chas v'Shalom, we should have a single other one.
Right.
But each time you read about the Tzadikim and Tzadikot, these people, it arouses a certain.
I am so struck. Yeah, this woman, she like, in her own simple way, you never would have heard of her.
Yeah.
But in her death, you see, like, just, she was a mother, but I don't know, how did she do it? She, like, answered these questions for these women. She had a blog and answered questions for hundreds of people.
Very difficult child.
Yeah, and then she became a foster mother. Like, how do these people do this? My God, I don't have time, and like, or the energy. You know, and she's also a nurse, and she's like, you know, and the whole yeshuv came to her because, and there are these people just going about their lives doing amazing things, you know, like in her death she caused such a kiddush Hashem just by teaching us how much a person could do just by being themselves, you know, and how much energy we could have if only we thought that we had it. It's an amazing thing. What? Yeah.
Well, hopefully we grow through it, we strengthen
this,
it.
I'm just going to read you the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Midrash. Okay? Vayarei, it is Vayarei. Ho'eu darko. Kulomar. Ramban just summarized the Midrash I read to you. Ho'eu v'lindeu darko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tells the ways of God. Hu mamtik hamar bimar. He sweetens the bitter with bitter. And I don't know. I don't know if it offers you any consolation, but it doesn't make you feel better now. But in the greater sense, what?
You must speak enough. Mm. Okay, we get it. It's bitter. It's horrible. Like,
yeah.
It's just that total helpless. You know, you said you get angry, but what do you do with that? Who do you direct it to? You know, I'm like, you know, do we all get up and protest and, you know, like, our leaders are doing? That's what I'm saying.
The government doesn't think it?
Yeah, what's the government meant to do? You know, could post someone in everyone's houses?
Turn off the radio. Like when you know, keep their bodies. So, you know, it's just like.
See, I don't think in terms of that. I don't think my job is to tell.
No, like, but we feel
how to do what they're supposed. I really don't.
Yeah, it's not, we talked about this too.
No, the government from the people.
As human beings, we want to do something active.
Yeah.
We feel that need. You know, it's like Moshe carried the people. We need somebody carrying us because right now. We're at the sea, we're seeing all these jewels, you know, high-tech, blah, blah, blah.
Nice,
but
like
we have inertia. We can't move.
Right? I don't know. I disagree that we're not moving. I think we're moving more than we really think. I mean, we're moving like the country is being built. I mean in the process of the redemptive process, like the growth of the country is critically part of that. Mm-hmm. Is essential to that, and the spiritual growth of the people, like you can't disassociate, like you said, the turn to the right. It's not just a political turn. There's a return to the sense of nationhood, a sense of Misorah, the growth of the, what they call it, the demise of the political left, the radical secular left. They're really grasping at straws, mostly because they see that the country really does want a sense of its identity. You know what I'm saying? They feel unbelievably threatened by the notion of, I don't know if you're following this. There's sort of a thing in the news, in the religious news. The army decided recently that there was an agaf, a whole branch of government called the Agaf HaToda'a Yehudit, a branch in the army. Right, when you got into the army, every soldier went through a certain series of courses about Jewish identity, and this was always under the auspices of the chief rabbi. Mm-hmm. Okay, and very recently, because of unbelievable strong political pressure, right, they took this away from the chief rabbi and brought it back to the Agaf HaChinuch, the Chel HaChinuch, and this was a big loss. It's a problem, and what it means, what it shows you is, on the one hand, is that you have to fight against this because it's really important, but it also shows you to what degree the secular left is
scared.
Yes, exactly right.
What?
Scared. Because they understand the power of these educational things. Like, I'm telling you, I work in an educational field. You see it from the inside. You see that the emphasis on, like, the Garinim Taranim, the powerful effect that a Garin Tarani has. You take Sheru Lumi girls and you teach them, they're teaching Judaism in elementary schools across the country. Like in hundreds of schools across the country, because they don't know how to do it. But the parents are happy, the teachers are happy, everybody's happy, and you'll see this effect in 20 years, 15 or 20 years. You know, powerful effects. And you know, if you know how to look, you see that it's moving in a certain direction. So what can you do? You raise your children, and you continue to build the country. And it's not a consolation because you feel this pain. But you have to look at it in the broader sense of things, in the broader context. And this leads me to my last point. This is the very beginning of the Melchemet Amalek. Okay? Melchemet Amalek. We're going to skip to Perek Tet Yud Zayin. Right? There's so much that happens in the Parsha. Crazy. You can't really follow it all, right? We skip the Man, which is in and of itself. Okay? Perek Yud Zayin Pesuk Chet. Yizayin Chet. I'm just going to read the very beginning and then we'll stop. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Am Yisrael b'refidim. Okay, Amalek came and he fought with Bnei Yisrael. So why did Amalek come? Okay, what happened right before? They had the man, but it wasn't good enough. The man came and the water and like, where's God? Just read Rashi. Vayavo Amalek. Samach Parsha Zuli Mikra Zeh. This connect is connected to the Parsha before it. Yud Zayin Chet. See where I am? Yud Zayin Chet? Okay? This is connected to the Parsha before, where they didn't know where God... And they just briefly, the Parsha before was they didn't have water. Again, they didn't have water. And they complained, and Moshe hit the rock. God told them to hit the rock, and Moshe hit the rock, and the water came. Great. Lomar, to say, Tamid Ani Ben Echem. I am always among you. I'm ready for everything you need. And you ask, is God in our midst or not? I promise, I swear, that the dog will come and bite you. You cry to me, you should know where I am. Mashallah Adam, sounds like one of those parables that you read on Facebook. It's like it's a parable of a person who put his son on his shoulders. Went on the road. He saw something and he said, Abba, tol chefetz, Dad, can you get me that candy bar? Can you get me that whatever? Right? Second guy, third thing, can I have that coke? Sure, son, blah, blah, blah. Pag'o ba'adam echad. So they meet a guy. Amar lo ota ben, ra'ita et abba? So the son sitting on the father's shoulder says, have you seen my father? Amar lo aviv, said the father, encha yodea hechan ani? You don't know where I am? Hashlicheo mi'alav, says also, put you down. Uba hakele v'nashcho. Like even with everything, Karen, the answer to your question is, we're still sitting on God's shoulders, right? Like you say, yeah, it's the footsteps thing. But like the footsteps didn't make it up; they read Rashi.
Though,
the footsteps
are
Rashi.
This one ends bad.
This one ends great. No, when we see God,
it puts him down.
Yeah,
God bites him.
Right, when you don't see, you know what I'm saying? There is a larger picture, right? You cannot. We cannot.
Explain it to me this way. It's like a tapestry.
Yeah.
We see the back of the tapestry.
No, you're not. It's not. You're not being fair.
We see the back.
We only see the hanging threads.
That's what I'm talking. That's the back.
No, the front. You see, look at the picture. Look at the larger picture. It's terrible. But we live in an age of Facebook and news where the terrible things consume us, and we don't allow ourselves to see the incredible good. We just don't. Think about this Gal Piguim, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But it's one person at a time, and the vast majority of attempts are neutralized before anyone can be hurt. Not vast majority, the majority.
But because the army and the government managed to stop the big people in the bombers,
right?
That's why we're here.
That's right. Do you understand what I'm saying? So on the one hand, you say, die, it's enough, and it's so true, and you're so right, and you're so correct, but let's not forget what happened 15 years ago, and what happened then, and where we were, and you have to see, we're standing on God's shoulders, and it's terrible, but nonetheless. So, is there a theme throughout? Like, there's no answer. Like, all of these thoughts are raging in our head. Like, v'lo nacham Elohim. I'm not consoled. I don't feel better. I'm still angry. Like, they should be punished. Yes. Okay? That's on the one hand. And we still feel that by Yasa Hashem et Moshe, there's a sense of loss and a sense of pain and a sense of trying to move forward. And then, but nonetheless, we also have to realize that there's a mar b'toch hamar, that there's a way, there's a path. You don't always see it, you don't always understand it, but the bitterness is a way of God. That's chok mishpat v'sham yisal. And finally, nonetheless, you have to have the hakarat hatov. You have to see the good. You cannot let you open your Facebook and all you see is this picture of this poor woman. Oh, that's all you see. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. That's not alright. You have to see the sea of good. And then the pain, the prick of the pain, the shot, nobody enjoys getting the vaccination, and nobody wants it. We don't understand it, but hopefully it'll do its job.
But Rabbi was saying, you can't be paralyzed,
no.
You've got to move forward.
That's right. We have to move forward. Stop here.